小姐。
And among the many Talmidim who unfortunately attended his Levaya, Levaya Mori Barabi, Agon Rabesh of Dari Salavechik, Zatzal. Now, 10 years later, it's hard to imagine that so much time has passed. It's also supposed to be in the Rosh Shir for 8 years. And, then saying the Shir in the high school already, whenever the high school calendar allowed for it, I went back to sit in the shir those days that I was available. And over the years, we maintained a relationship based upon a family relationship, which I'll talk about soon. And just a few comments. I'm sure you've heard others speak about the ambience at the shir, the mood at the shir. All I will summarize is the reality that anyone who came in 10 years after I was there never heard the love say the shir. They heard shirim from the rav, but not the rav. With the power, with the pedagogy that he used in order to get the Talmidim to devote themselves to a sugya the way he was devoting himself. I learned, I studied with the Rav Seches Nida twice. He said shul in Nida 1 year. We came back expecting to learn Erevin. He had promised us we'd learn Erevin that year. The next year, we came back and said, no, we're learning Nida again. I won't quote exactly the language he used, but essentially what he said in Yiddish, in blunter terms, I didn't like the shiurim I said last year. I think I can do better. And we started again with Seches Nida. That's integrity that you don't find today. It's also something Talmidim don't believe, that a Rebbe, one prepares a shir, and two reviews the shir, same as you're supposed to. Means that he reviewed the shirim, and many of the shirim he said were chidushim, great chidushim, and especially Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, which was one of his specialties. And indeed, the second set of shirim were at variance with the first set of shirim. The Rosh Shir was predictable. He didn't need another Masech to prepare for his shir. He never went from sugya to sugya, but fought for consistency within the Talmud, within that sugya. His specialty was to take a Ramban and show how the Ramban learned the Talmud, and show how the Rambam learned the Talmud. That was the basic structure of most of his shir. Consistency to show that a Rishon had made a lane on the sugya, learned it his way, and came to this conclusion. And the machlokesin that people pick up are nothing more than how they simply interpreted the Omer Gemara, the Daf Gemara. He liked to find a coherent theme in a sugya. I don't know if people understand what that means. It doesn't mean saying the rushes. That's what's happened lately. Someone wants us to use the Gemara for a Musa Shmuz. Quite fine. It's far better source than a sermon manual. But the idea that the halachos say something. We studied Morikoton I remember very exactly my notes, went off with Zion and said, let me tell you what I think I understand, since Avelis is all the Rabbonim, only Hugi Avelis is the Rabbonim. What did they have in mind? What were they thinking when they put together, sitting on the floor, no shaving, no washing, even Kriyan, most likely the Rabbonim, no Sheila Sholom, no inviting to Chasinus, for father, mother, Yud Beis Chodesh. What were they saying? The man sat down to design a behavior pattern when a father, a mother, when a son dies. What do? You decide the show must go on, and you go and put on your Broadway play, or go play your baseball game because you are one who's committed to sportsmanship. He said, no, he says. All Chazal was trying to say is when a parent dies, you suffered a loss of social esteem. Your yichus comes from your father and mother. When that yichus was taken away, you are nothing. Therefore, behave like a nothing. Don't bathe, pay your clothes, sit on the ground, like anyone who's a nothing. That was his godless. You could see that suddenly all the Hugi Avelis fall into a pattern. And the whole, I think, loved Moi Kotten and Bayam more than other Masechtis, because there's so much the Rabbonans in them that you are compelled to seek an answer. If it's a Daraisa Kodesh Baruch Hu said so, that's it. That's the best answer. But if people sat down and made it up, then you better have a good reason why they did so. I've said over many times something I heard from the Rav that's not been published. So the doubles bekever. Repeat something from the Rav, it means he is speaking again from the grave. Chumishmos, when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke just a little bit out of turn to Rabbeinu Shalom and asked, Loma Ariosa, Loma Zer, Loma Zer Shachtoni. Because Bosi Apao, Hevausa Loma Zer, Vahatse Eloi Tzalta Samech. That's pretty tough language. So Rashi next said in Vayero and in Vayero, who quotes a medrash, Chaval al the avdin v'lo mishtakshin. Avom Yitzchak and Yaakov, I spoke to them, I promised Abraham Eretz Yisrael, his wife died, had no place to bury his wife. He never said anything. And you, whatever I say to you, I get back talk. I say, goes to Paro. I say, no, Lamazer Shatoni. I say, no, I'm not there. Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu was not an easy one to deal with. That's what Rashi brings down. Chaval al Yavnam Shem. It was a pleasure to deal with Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. So the Rav said, he heard from Reb Chaim. So Chaim asked, surely Moshe Rabbeinu must have answered the Rabbeinu Shalom on this. He answered on everything. What would he have answered the Rabbeinu Shalom when he said, Chaval al Yavnam Shem? Because I know what Moshe Rabbeinu must have answered. He answered, if you love Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov so much, why didn't you give them the Torah? Why did you wait for me? Do you know why? He says, for Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, he's good to eat in the sukkah with them, he says. But to become Moshe Rabbeinu and teach Torah to a nation of Ankshei Oved, you'll excuse me, I have to ask questions. I need answers. Otherwise, I can't be Moshe Rabbeinu, I can't teach it. This was Griska Drush. What he did was emphasize Torah isn't an act of faith alone. If it's for me, my belief is as good as my reasons. If it's for you, my belief doesn't do you any good. I have to be able to explain things to you. I need a reason. And therefore, to become Moshe Rabbeinu, I had to ask questions that Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov didn't have to ask. They were not assigned that task, not to take the Jews out of the Sinai, but to give them a Torah. When the Miyuhudi hit the papers, and everybody was talking about Miyuhudi, the Rav would comment over and over again. I had the chus to be able to see him after Shir 2. He would say, everybody's yelling at the Reform movement, they don't believe in Torah ben HaShemayim. But that's just a theological concept. Yeah, they don't believe in Torah ben HaShemayim. It doesn't mean anything to people. They spoke with divine inspiration. Not every word of Torah ben HaShemayim. Standard conservative Reform blasphemy. The problem with the conservative Reform is they don't have a halachic process. And I'm quoting, they'll make a machlokes between the Rambam and Finkelstein. They don't understand how you take Torah min HaShemayim and bring it down on earth. How do you apply Torah concepts on earth? For that you need Tanoim, Amoroim, and Rishonim, and Achonim. That's a halachic process. That halachic process is not they don't believe Torah's been a Shemayim, they have no Torah. The Torah doesn't say anything to them. It stays b'Shemayim. Few people have formulated it that way. That was the Rav's greatness. As you can imagine, he was very sensitive to Mitzvah Hashem. I don't know of anybody, and I grew up with my father was Atzal, who also had pretty much all the Blisko Chumbus from Balozhin, actually. But the Rav Sittis is hardly known to anybody. He was Zoya. And I'm Mr. Kalik Echanura with everything that he ever learned from his father's house. I'll tell you an incident. We're learning out of Sofen. And the sugi there of Havdolah. So remember, not my memory, I also took notes as a Talmud. So I was looking through to find which of the things. Out of Sofen, he says as follows. Says if you look in Tosfos Brachos Daf Mem Gimel, that Dibur Masel Hoel, you'll see that Tosfos says, in order to be motzi acherim with Havdolah, they must be sitting. Otherwise, there's no krius. In order to get krius, people to behave together as a unit, something has to tie them together. Man making Havdolah, in other words, listening, that's not krius. And many, most yeshivas say, yeshiva, let's sit. I don't know how's it here. We'll make half an hour. Okay. Yeah, that's traditional to our yeshiva. This was on a Wednesday or a Thursday. Wednesday must have been. I was on Wednesday. The Rav said the shiur. And as the Rav sometimes would get a hold of an Indian, he waxed dramatic on how important it is. The concept of krius. You can't just talk and people listen. Something has to bind you together, and sitting together is a krius. Therefore, Havdolah, to be motzi acherim, must be krius. That Shabbos night, I lived in Washington Heights then, and I was here in the yeshiva, I said the Mishnah every Shabbos morning. Some of the old timers here remember. The Rav spent the Shabbos in his mother Leah Sholem's house, and he davened with us. And that Motzoi Shabbos season, davened Maya with us, and he made Havdolah. He loved to make Havdolah. He made Havdolah standing. Everybody was sitting. He stood, so they all stood up. When he got through, I don't know what it was, an early 2 days ago, he said to me, Moitzachayim, there must be kriyus. So why did you stand? He said, but my father stood. That was the answer. Yeah? My father also knew halacha, my father stood. If I stood. This is the law. Not inconsistency, but consistency. Right? Consistency in my mind leads me in one direction, but I'm also bound by a halachic process. And part of the halachic process is Shema b'ni Musa Rabicho, Batitosh Torah Simecho, Minhagi Beisav are important, happy halachic. That for himself, he wouldn't violate the Minhag Beisav. When my father-in-law and the Moshe came to America, he came expecting nothing. Came to America because the Pesach before, my wife was taken from the house, from the Seder table, taken to school. They had a special review session. She was then 7 years old. And the review session was to give each child a piece of pumpernickel bread and have them eat it. When that happened, the Shah decided no matter what, he has to leave. He was holding out on the great duress and the great stress, he had to leave. But he had nothing to offer America. He also had an image of America, which was the America that, not a Mokum Torah. What's he going to do? Come say Shiurim in America? Who's going to come listen? He decided, asking around, that there's a job you can get in America called a shamus. You call a shamus in a shul, you collect the soil, and you put it away in the shelf, you become a shamus. That was his true expectation. When his bo docked, the Moshe Soloveitchik Zatzal, with a whole contingent of Rabbonim, were waiting for him at the dock. That made his reputation in America. So when he landed on the dock, it was in the newspaper, people knew that this another Gadol came from Russia. Then everything opened up for him. She was asked to come, but for the grace of God, he would have been in Tells, but didn't. He went to Tells for a few months, decided that he can't be there because it's run by Balabatin. Nothing good can come from an institution run by Balabatin. That's why when he wanted to go with Tzvaros of Shalayim, he was president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, and other ones. He never forgot that chesed that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Zatzal extended to him. But they extended to him as family, you have to understand. True, Rav Moshe knew who Rav Moshe was. The two Rav Moshes knew each other. Feinstein had a reputation in Russia, and they were family. The Moshe's mother and the Rav's, the Moshe's mother and the Rav's mother were sisters. Peshe Soloveitchik, Zeifer Tzadikas Levracha, that was a special woman, right? And the Shver's mother, Fayegitl, were sisters. So Rabbi Eliyahu Feinstein, Rabbi Eliyahu Pujina, name happened to be Feinstein, but not the name didn't come from the same source. How names happened in Russia, someone died, they took over his identity, so he escaped the draft, all kinds of shit went on there. Anyway, the family names in Russia were largely Abelia Pujina, no one knew about these secular names. Rabbi Pujina was the father of Peshe Soloveitchik, the wife of Moshe Soloveitchik. Special Soloveitchik would be across the street, and they had an apartment where there was no separate kitchen. The kitchen was separated like a bar, half wall, so the kitchen looked into the living room. And the Rav would be in the living room learning. I had the schmooze, I was there, we learned together. And Pesher, who was rubbing potatoes to make potato latkes, which was a special courtesy to me, would call out every now and then, excuse me for quoting it because she meant to sign a baba, seems to Bero Abyssal Hecher, Kenesher. Refer to Yosher Berel's bell, and please a little louder, I can't hear. She would listen without a text and follow whatever was going on. Yosher Berel earned his keep on his own effort, but he had a little genetic help also. He had a bunch of good genes that came together to make his life a little bit easier. I guess I should repeat it because I heard it from the Rav. There was a significant rivalry between Reb Chaim and Reb Eliyahu. Reb Chaim was in Brisk, a poverty-stricken Rabbanus, which he took reluctantly because the family was starving. He didn't want the Rabbanus. And Rabbi Kushner was one of the richest Rabbanus in Russia. Maybe that led to a little bit of jealousy. Rabbi Eliyahu was no slouch. You want to see nice tshuvas, the Sefer Halichos Eliyahu, that's Eliyahu Pruzhner, 5 minutes Torah. But there was a tension between the two families. At Pesher's Soloveitchik's wedding, she married the Moshe, Chaim and Rabbi Eliyahu got into some discussion, some Anusra Ksubi or whatever it was, and it was taking a long time. So one of the people leaned over and said, you know, the Kala Fastnov, the Kala is still fasting, and you're crutching around here. So Chaim turned to one of his people, said, please go tell the Kala that she should eat. A Kala doesn't have to fast till the Chuppah, only a Chosna has to fast till after the Chuppah. A Kala only fasts a regular Yom Tainus. Tell the Kala to eat. To which the poor Shleach had to come back with the answer of Pesher. The answer was, I didn't ask a Shaila. And second, if I would ask a Shaila, I know who to ask. This made her reputation. This is the kind of people you're dealing with. Strong by themselves, proud of their heritage. What she meant to say is, and they didn't need a plan to pass for me. I have my father, but he can pass for me. I'm looking, I have a file here on the Rav. The file consists of things I've said in different places. The year of the Rav's Petire, and I don't know don't remember how it got into my hands, but obviously the original must be by my son Rav Moshe. This is a New Year's Eve card, a New Year's card, a Rosh Hashanah card that Pesher Soloveitchik sent to my shul. I'll read you what it says. That's not important. What's important are the New Year's cards. Obviously, we found it in the Shrell's drawer when he kept correspondence. They didn't want to throw out. His Chuvas, his Piskei Halachos, he put into a file cabinet. This is a drawer under the desk. And we found the New Year's card there, the Rosh Hashanah card there, and I made a photocopy of it years ago in the summer. Important is that on the back of the New Year's card, my Shrell had scribbled, Rabbanus Pesher Soloveitchik,
Zecher Zatzal, Zecher Tzadekes Levroche.
He felt it choshev enough. He didn't want to throw it out, choshev.
And what it says, the usual thing, Gemar Sima Tova, and all the titles, etc. And she signed it Pei Soloveitchik, and doesn't spell Soloveitchik the way people spell Soloveitchik today. That's a separate thing. The Rav would call my father-in-law every Erev Rosh Hashanah. And my father-in-law would return the courtesy and call the Rav every Erev Yom Kippur. This went on all the years. When I come to the house, Erev Yom Kippur, the Shlok Kaporos in my father-in-law's house, the Shechet came to the house, the Shechet in the house, when we finished Shlok Kaporos, he said, Nunu, should sign up for the Rav. It's time to call the Rav there. And every night, the night of Kaporos, the night before, the night of Erev Pesach, the Shechet would call the Rav. The Rav just called him, Hashanah, that was European courtesy. I remember when Rav Kamenetsky, that Sal, would come Cholamoy Tzukis, where the Moshe was in our home every year, always from Motzoy Yom Kippur until a week or two after Sukkot. He didn't allow any visitors, but Rav Kamenetsky, who lived a quarter of a mile away, would always come in, and he'd spend hours laughing because the Rav Kamenetsky was a type of a storyteller, and he would repeat Maisalach, etc. That was a real Simchas Yomtov. We all enjoyed having him. And then I would drive Rav Kamenetsky back to his house, literally an eighth of a mile, a quarter of a mile. When I'd come back, the Shrel would say, Nu, we're not machen a bazuch of Rav Kamenetsky. Let's go visit Rav Kamenetsky. We go into the car, and drive down and visit Rav Kamenetsky. This was formal, some kind of formality between Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael, which has been lost. I said many times, the Hitler didn't kill all the Jews, he destroyed our culture, but all cultural facets that gave us a rich life, that disappeared. You forget these things. Occasionally you're zocher to see some people yet to remember how a Jew is supposed to behave. There was one serious battle between my shver and the Rav. They would meet at weddings during a period of time, nothing more than the warmest friendship, etc., etc. But there was real serious exchange of letters between them about the synagogue council. You people, I don't know if we remember it, but synagogue council died a well-deserved death some time ago. It was a synagogue council where representing organizations, including Reform Conservative. My shrel signed a kol kore against it, joining such an organization, and the Rav was supportive of the RCA's position, or rather the RCA took a position asking the Rav's support for it to join the synagogue council. Ultimately it died, and its death proved that my shrel was correct. There's a danger in that, because the Rav's position was klapi chutz. Traditionally, historically, even in the time of Sam Sofer, we joined with Reform anything had to do representing the Jewish people to the outside world. And the synagogue council was so-called klapi chutz. When the Mi-Yehudi issue came up, and the synagogue council took a stand against the Orthodox position, it was the first time they meddled in religious matters, then the thing disbanded, and the Orthodox components pulled out. Yeah. But the battle was, Shrel held strongly that legitimization is an issue. The fact that I have to call him Rabbi so-and-so, I have to give him the title Rabbi, I have to deal with him, quote, as an equal professional, spiritual leader, etc. He felt that that was kfirah. He couldn't do that. That battle remained. That was never resolved. It never affected their personal relations. It was really intellectual difference. The Shrel understood where the Rav was coming from, and the Rav understood the Shrel's position, and family dominated. I don't know if it would remain that way were not for the blood ties that are held so strongly, especially by the Soloveitchiks. Salvatrics honor their blood relations, even at times when people try to make my focus, you'll never hear one Salvatric attack another Salvatric. That's also part of halachic culture. It's the Tzochal Tesalim. There is nepotism, even when it comes to a theological or halachic dispute. Asked by Rav Chalap to try to give as many personal insights as I could recall. At my wedding, Moshe, father-in-law, turned to the Lord and asked him to be inside of Kedusha. The Lord refused. The Moshe insisted, said, okay. Under the chuppah, he called up Rav Rosenberg, Zatzal, as Masada Kedusha. I was married with the president of the Agudas HaRabbanim. On the whole, I said, Rebbe, what are you doing? Shaila was with Rav Moshe Bino Masada Kedusha, or you? Finally settled that you're Masada Kedusha. Why are you calling him? I quote this, I wrote out, said, you gave me Siddha Kedusha. It's mine, I do what I want with it. This was the love. What he wanted to say was, Rav Rosenberg was Zikan HaRabbanim, and a political figure, and big figure in Kashrus, etc. He felt that protocol demanded that he be given a special cover. I knew very well that my father would object, and I would object. But he thought that's the right thing to do, that's what he did. In 1950, I was saying a shiur here in high school, and Rav Belkin Zatzal called me in and said, I have to take a position as a rov in Great Neck. And Herman Woke, an author who came about tshuva, who lived in Great Neck, Kingsport, wants to start an Orthodox community, the first Orthodox community in North Shore, Long Island. And I had to become the Hog. I had met Herman Woke previously. He was writing a book and he wanted someone to review the book, This Is My God. He was in the middle of writing it. As I, someone recommended I should serve as an editorial review. My name doesn't appear in there, but if you read the footnote on Shabbos, he quotes and says, this was written for me by a rabbi biologist who doesn't want his name to be used. I didn't want to be associated with it. There. I know it was a reasonable truth. I told Dr. Belkin, I'm not interested in Rabbonus, it's not my style. I never wanted to be, never prepared for it. I already then completed a master's in biology and was interested in trying to do the so called impossible of Toro Mada. Toro Mada, not in theory, but in practice. Dr. Belkin assisted has to be because it was the cheapest way out for him. He didn't even increase my salary. He gave me an expense account of $75 a month to allow for transportation. You know, it had to be, and I was going to start up with Dr. Belkin. So I went to the Rav and said, Rebbe, I don't know what kind of bracha you make on this stuff. I mean, I have to say a sermon, a drosha every Shabbos. I never said a drosha in my life. I said, sure, but a drosha, no, how do you make a drosha? Oh, I will quote the Rav. Here's what the Rav answered me. Don't ever buy a sermon manual. Don't ever skip an Agadah in the Gemara. Buy a set of Medrash Rabbah and skim to every week. If you do that, you'll find something to say. If you can't find anything to say, don't speak. That's the law. Anyone knows the law, that's the law. That was how the Lord spoke, how the Lord answered. Some 2.5 years later, I came to the Lord, but I've had it. The Shul Baruch Shem prospered, and we opened up Achar Shel Pesach, and I brought 4 Talmidim from my Shir to make a minyan. We had 6 people, plus 4 Talmidim. That was the minyan that started above the Squire Theater on Middle Neck Road. It's still there, the movie house. We rented a room upstairs. By the time I left, we had 200 members. We had a Talmud Torah going, not because I was such a good rov, but there was a massive group of people hiding out in the basement of the conservative temple, Rabbi Waxman's temple, who were unhappy with the conservative shtick. And as soon as we opened up, they came in mass. The Great Lake Synagogue is now the successor of our little shul, although we had bought already a building the following year, and they had already a little building with the walls broken down in a living room and a dining room. We were able to seat 60, 70 people. And so I came to the Rav. I said, it's as far as I have nothing to push me. I want to begin my doctoral studies. But it's a difficult thing. I met with the community people. They're willing to make all kinds of allowances as far as coursework, etc., etc. But it means undertaking a tremendous load, because I had Baruch Hashem then 5 children living here in Washington Heights on West 108th Street. And it meant I had to keep my shiur. And I had 8 hours a week of teaching in the biology department already. And then started doctoral work with a laboratory component to it. It was not to be a EDD, it's to be a PhD. Should I do it or not? And I was afraid to ask my father-in-law, because he would have said no. opened up the Gemara Tainis Nafchof Aleph. He said to me, I told you, you have to learn Haggadah to know how to behave. There's a story of Rabbi Yochanan and Ilfa. How many of you people recall that Gemara? From Chaya, Yeshiva, everything is Chiddush. Ilfa, that was his name. Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan were Chaverim and Chavrusim. Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan are the Garsi Boraisa. The Chikulu Milsa, they were dying of hunger. Amar Nekam and Ezel Benavid Iska, we have to start doing some business. Nekayim Benavshin, we should fulfill the Tzivu of Epes Goliyah Bechor Evyon. They went, they sat under a bridge, and 2 Malachim were talking. And these 2 people are leaving Chai Olam in order to do Chai Shah, leaving Torah, and they're going to, let's collapse the bridge on them. So Rabbi Yochanan turned to Ilfa and said, you heard what they said? Right? Rabbi Yochanan Shama, Ilfa lo Shama. So I didn't hear anything. And then I said, Rabbi Yochanan, Omar Rabbi Yochanan Ilfa, Shama ma'amidi, Omar, therefore, it must be they're talking to me. Kaina lishata, it's my turn. Rabbi Yochanan went back to the Mesvedush, right? V'uki v'nashoi, ki lo yechdal evyo mikerev oretz. To quote another passage, so be an evyo. What happened? Rabbi Yochanan hoda ilfa lo hoda, ad osa ilfa molech Rabbi Yochanan. As Rabbi Yochanan came back, and before Ilfa had occasion to show himself up again at the Mesmedlish, there they appointed Rabbi Yochanan as the head of the Mesmedlish. Right? As it says, Minu Rosh Yeshiva, right? And Minu Mishu Rosh Yeshiva, Megadol Sobi Shalahen, Uma the halacha of the gidlu mishalechol, like a kohen gadol, he may be poor, but once he's appointed kohen gadol, everybody chips in, right? And he should become a kohen hagadol meyechol, gidlu meyechol. They did the same thing for the head of the yeshiva. People said to Ilfa, had you done it, you'd come back. We had to choose between Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan, you're far greater than Rabbi Yochanan. We would have chosen you. But you didn't want, you didn't come back. And indeed, in the Gemara, you never find Omar Ilfa b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. You find Omar Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Ilfa, b'shem Ilfa. So what happened? It finishes off. Ozal tola nafshe be askari de sfinta. That may be why he's called Ilfa, because Ilfa in Aramish means a ship. He climbed up on the mast of a ship, of his ship. He became a big ship builder, a ship, one who transported goods across the oceans. Became a very wealthy man. Amar I ikod mishorli be masnita de rabfi be rabosha vlo pashtina le me masnitsam ne filmo me askirio de sinta be tavana. Ask me, English translation, ask me any shayla you want. If I can't answer it, I will jump off and commit suicide. Dramatic, so any meaning, you think because I became a big shipper, I became a big businessman, I gave up my Torah, I kept my Torah just as strong. Rav said, what do you learn from here? The mother records it to let you know it's possible. Whether you can do it, study for a doctorate, study Torah, etc., you should know it can be done. And if you don't do it, it's because you failed, not because you took a task that cannot be done. The mother records the story of Ilfa to let you know that it can be done. Incident that I have with all, if known to the Ma'ariv today, if some of you people get a chance to read the Hebrew newspapers, there's been an ongoing battle between two Shapiros, two columnists, both named Shapiro, whether the Rav ever said that if someone doesn't go to college, he wouldn't give him smicha. That's how someone quoted it. And arguing, going back to the Rav's writings to try to find Mekoros, what did the Rav ever say? Did he say it or not? It's interesting, no one ever called. I checked around the old Talmidim, no one ever called the old Talmidim. Asked, what did he say? What was the Metzius? What did they do? Was it true that the Rav hesitated to give smicha to anyone who didn't go to college? And so after that, the Rav dealt with Talmidim who did go to college. Most Talmidim did, but I know Talmidim who didn't go to college, who have private smichas from the Rav. He gave private smichas even to people who did go to college, he gave additional private smichas. I have a private smicha of the Rav because, believe it or not, there was a time when the Agudas HaRabbanan wouldn't recognize, quote, an institutional smicha. They want only a private smicha. My father was, Hadad Atzal was active in Agudas HaRabbanim. He wanted me to join, but they wouldn't accept me because I didn't have a smicha from a recognized masmich. In fact, the Rav signed my smicha along with Dr. Belkin Atzal and Rashatskis Atzal. That wasn't good enough. That's an institution. Nowadays the table is turned, and the RCA doesn't want to accept any private smichas. Wants to accept only institutional smichas on the assumption that an institutional smicha is more disciplined, is less subject to nepotism, favoritism, etc., etc. That's essentially the little bit of what I thought might be feedish to you, things that others did not know. To say the Kovin, my great Rebbe, he says, Shavsosa of Dovos Bekeva, the Mom Bamesir, and Afkehei, אומר רב, אמר רב בן חבר אותו רב, סוכר ויושב בישיבה שמר לו. כל המלמד אז בן אבוס, אפילו הקדוש ברוך הוא גוזר גזירות מבטלו. All of you, I think, know how many people became B'nai Torah because of the Rav, and how many of them came from homes where the voice of Torah was not heard. Then he had to excuse also B'nai Amoritz Torah also. Hey, he learned Torah with B'nai Rabbonin and B'nai Tamid Chachomin, but the vast majority of the Tamidim that we had in my time came from homes that were not homes of Tamid Chachomin. And the Rav, with the power of his really enthusiastic Torah, instilled in them a love for Torah, a commitment to Torah. And now's the time, I guess, for us to remind the Rav that he has special power up there. The Yeshiva Shalmalo, he has power to be Mabatel Gzeros. I'm sure he knows what kind of danger Am Yisrael faces today. Waiting for the Iraq war to be over to be able to take away Eretz Yisrael from us. And that's what Pauli Mark Shimo said. As soon as the Iraq war is over, I guess that's why it's taking up more time than they thought. But the Bible says you can take away that as well as you can take your time. You can wait a little bit. So play around another few months. By that time, maybe Paul won't be around. Special appeal to the Lord to use his power. The Torah Sam Yisrael. Surely he has a credit line with the Ben Shalom equal to no other. The source of his Torah, the source of his Habotzah's Torah, and Mirz Hashem should stand us all in good stead. Yizichol Baruch.